Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush, Chuck Midweek Hangover Edition.
My mic is too loose. It keeps rotating and pivoting away from my mouth. I got to chase it around.
Wait a minute. Are you doing Herbert from The Family Guy?
No, it's little.
You ever heard of Don Hertzfeld? He's an animator.
No.
He's got these like failed commercials that he supposedly pitched to different like networks for like PBS type commercials or whatever. And one of them is the guy that's got a big spoon. And he just goes, "My spoon is too big."
That sounds just like Herbert.
It's you know, also Herbert? Yeah, for sure.
Like, look at that muscly arm.
Haven't seen the paper boy lately. She's got a bit of a whistle.
I got some ice cream in the basement.
Terrible.
It's bad, but so good and quotable. And it's a voice that we can all enjoy doing because it's not that hard.
Well, and if you grew up in the South or have lived in the South,
you were molested by that
you've
guy.
You probably. Good Lord, Noel.
I'm kidding.
You probably met an old Southern man who has that kind of whistly old man voice.
It's that kind of a fat Southern accent, you know? I'm getting the vapors over here, Chuck.
Oh, Noel. Midweek hangover. I usually don't drink during the week. That's what I try to do, you know?
Okay.
To be my best self. But I went to a show last night. I went to see The New Pornographers.
I wanted to go to that.
And, you know, got a lift and that sort of New York City syndrome when you know you're not driving.
Oh, yeah. It's licensed to
be dumb.
Not drive.
And a bunch of friends went and, like, I got into some whiskey.
Yeah.
And, boy, I'm glad I don't have to record three shows right now.
You do,
wait a minute. I do.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fun. It just adds character. How were they live, though? I love them so much.
They're great. I mean, that's probably like my ninth time seeing them.
So good.
I've seen them a bunch.
I got like three notifications last night, you know, the Facebook where you say you're going to go to a thing, and then it reminds you that you forgot about this thing that you said you were going to go to.
Right.
I got three of them yesterday. Like, I think Dinosaur Jr.'s playing tonight.
New Pornographers.
I got a friend coming in town for it. I'm not going to go. I've seen them before. And then last night was New Pornographers, but there was another one, too, at another venue, and now I'm forgetting what it was. But
Well, you remarked on the Facebook that you forgot about the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
I did, and
that
was one of them, but there was an additional one. Was that fun? You looked like you were having some fun.
We had a great time.
Nobody invited me.
Good, fun, backstage hang. Noel, don't give me that garbage.
That guff?
The New Pornographers are great, though, because, you know, they've kind of morphed over the years a little bit. They've gotten way more synthy on the past two albums, which is great.
Yeah.
And sadly, Dan Behar of Destroyer left the band.
Right.
And he was always that wild card that just, you know, brought the weird.
Well, do you like Destroyer?
I love Destroyer. I
fucking love Destroyer so much. It's one of my favorite things in the whole wide world.
You know, Nico used to be the lone woman in that band, and which is all you need.
Right.
Nico Case, one of the great voices of all time.
Agreed.
But then a few years ago, Catherine Calder, who I believe is Dan Behar, found out he had an adult niece later in life and that she was a musician and she's in the band.
Oh, cool.
And then they have, since Behar left, they've added a woman named Sami Sernacker.
Great name.
Yeah, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. So now you have three women in the band, and there are times where it's like Carl Newman is like sort of backing an all-female band vocally, and it's great. It's just like – and Nico is just like – it seems to me like has welcomed everybody in.
She was sort of in the Dan Behar situation where she was almost too famous a solo to continue touring with them, right? Wasn't she?
I think there are some shows and parts of tours where she has not been able to join them. Which is, you know, you've got the backup now with Catherine Calder singing her parts.
Yeah.
But I've been lucky. Every time I've seen them, she's been there, and Behar's been there until he left the band.
Ah.
Because he didn't always do the shows either.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, he's good.
Well, I know them relatively well. The one record that I just adore and know back to front is that Twin Cinema. I think that is a classically fantastic.
They're all great.
What do you call it? Power pop?
Yeah, power pop.
Yeah.
Hooky. Like, yeah,
super hooky.
Really, really good.
Really energetic and just like makes you feel good. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Such a good show. But yeah, I tied one on and I need to say hello to the very kind listeners who I met outside the theater.
Yeah.
And in the lobby, met a few people all at once. It was kind of weird.
Nice.
And I'm sorry if I was hammered and made a fool of myself.
I'm sure
I don't think I did.
No.
This one very nice gentleman with a beard. Right as I was getting into the car, introduced his girlfriend, and I was like, who do people say you look like? I was that guy.
Ah.
And I thought she looked like Samantha Morton, actor Samantha Morton. And she didn't know who that was, and she was looking it up as I was getting in my Lyft.
And she was like, yes, and I do look like her.
Because he said, people say Heather Graham, which was fair. She, you know, ooh, Samantha Morton and Heather Graham, there's some crossover there, I think.
Huh. You think?
I think they both have kind of big eyes.
And, oh, big eyes. Yeah.
I mean, they don't look just alike, but no. I could see both in this.
They have somewhat exaggerated features.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. I'm just rewording what you said.
Oh, but boy. So I've asked people hangover cures. What's your go-to hangover cure? You have one, Noel?
Shitty food.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like fried food?
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's the cycle, though. That's not good.
No.
For a guy like me.
No, it's not good for a guy like me either.
When you're trying to get fit, Noel.
You're looking good, Chuck. You're looking svelte.
I'm not looking svelte yet, but I did start a program.
I did, too.
Like a structured program.
Yeah, mine's not structured, but I did go to the gym once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm on a program now, and my thighs are—I have a hard time walking up steps.
Are they barking?
Yes.
Do thighs bark?
My thighs are barking.
Yeah.
And my biceps are a little sore.
Yeah.
Because my little muscles have never been used.
Right.
So when I'm using them,
yeah,
they're barking back at me.
For sure, as they should. That's how they let you know that it's working, that the program is working. Yeah, I just went to the gym a couple days ago for the first time in a while and didn't overdo it,
uh-huh,
which is good because sometimes when you overdo it.
I overdid it.
Yeah, and then it makes you not want to do it again.
Yeah, but I'm on a program. It's like I got to
keep saying that like it means something. What does this mean? What is this program? You have it's a trainer?
It's a 3-day-a-week thing where I like have to be there.
That's good. You need that accountability.
It's not up to me.
You need that accountability.
I have to have it. I got to make it happen.
All right. Maybe I need to do something similar. Solidarity, right, buddy.
Melanie Stein says breakfast burrito, Pedialyte, and going back to sleep. Yeah, Melanie, hydration and sleep are the two main factors in curing a hangover.
It's true. Scientific.
If you can go back to sleep, by God, do it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that'll really help.
You know what they say, too? Like, you think that when you're tanked, you sleep, like, really well.
Oh,
you
sleep awful.
It's awful.
It's the worst.
It's like up and down and bad weird, sleep, disturbed dreams.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good.
The best sleep is like just dead sober sleep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Charles Ogan says a Whopper, a banana, and lots of water. Bananas, if I'm not mistaken, are scientifically proven to help hangovers because of the potassium.
Science loves a banana.
Yvonne Baudet, one of our old pals, says pho. Trust me, it really works. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great hangover meal.
Yeah, you need the sponginess of the noodles to soak up all the poison.
Yeah, and I'll throw ramen in there as a sister of pho.
Because it's like soup, which is good for being sick, and then you've got the noodles, which is good for kind of, I don't know if
and
it's true.
And a little
true.
Meat.
And a little meat. But, you know, they say things about soaking up the – I don't know if that's true. That seems made up.
Oh, soaking up alcohol?
Yeah, that seems made up.
That is not a thing. Emily still says that, God bless her. She's like, oh, I need to eat some bread to soak up the alcohol. I'm like, nah, it doesn't work that way.
I think
way.
It's gone already. It's already been metabolized. That's why you're drunk.
Kelly Ferris Mark says Egg McMuffin, hash brown, and a Coke.
That's a good one.
EJ Lavik says rehydrate and reload on carbs. Dominique Nusifora says the big three, time, regret, and promises to never drink again. Another Pedialyte, Christopher Austin, water, Pedialyte, a couch, access to a restroom. Interesting. Teresa Barker says, water, a couple of glasses and some Advil. Well, you know what? My magic potion is the headache powders, which we have here in the Southeast.
Really? Like the
BC or goodies.
What do you do with that? You just eat it?
You dump it in your mouth. And drink water.
How do you not just retch that,
you know,
everywhere?
You got to be able to do it. Some people can't do it.
I can't.
I don't mind it. I don't love it, but I don't mind it.
I can't do
it. It's bitter. But then you wash it down. But it's like it's already crushed, so it acts really fast.
Is that the deal?
And it's got caffeine in it.
Oh.
So it's like a, it gets you going.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you can't get it. Like, I go up in New York, you know, you go to a bodega.
It seems like drugs. Like,
they don't have headaches.
It seems like drugs, Chuck. It comes in a weird envelope.
It is drugs.
Well, I know, Chuck, but I mean, it's the look of it is it's a bad look.
Philip Woodward says, time or more alcohol. No, I've never done that thing.
Hair of the dog.
I've never been into that.
No.
It's not my thing.
That's just called never stopping drinking is what that's called. Yeah.
Brooks Hudgens, water and Tylenol. Krista Scott says, go back to sleep. Try again tomorrow. Yes. All right. These are all good suggestions, folks. But we're not here to talk about hangovers. We're here to talk about Steve Zahn. Happy Zahn's Day, everyone. It's his birthday.
Really? Are we going to do that now? Are we going to have a celebrity birthday shout-out in every episode?
I don't know about every episode, but because I'm asking what your favorite Zahn role is on the old Facebook page, because he's one of the greats. Steve Zahn, character actor. We have
I liked him in Tremé. He was like a stoner musician.
I never watched that.
In Tremé.
I need to see that.
He's good.
I don't know why I didn't
he's
see it.
He's a goofball. He's always kind of a goofball, isn't
David
he?
Simon, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
isn't he always kind of a goofball? Steve Zahn?
He can play goofball,
yeah,
for sure.
What's a serious Zahn role?
Serious Zahn.
You know Zahn means teeth in German?
Really?
Uh-huh.
I took German. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Steve Teeth?
Uh-huh.
Or Tooth?
Yeah. Son of Dr. Teeth. No, Zahn, Zane, Zana. I don't know. It just seems like there must be a connection.
German for tooth. Zahn.
Is it the same? Is it spelled the same?
Nailed it. Yes.
Nice.
Z-A-H-N.
Yeah.
Steve Tooth.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Happy Tooth Day, everyone.
Yep.
So David
if
Mills.
If only it were Tuesday. That'd be great.
David Mills, one of our old pals, says, I liked him in That Thing You Do. He's such an excited little kid through that whole movie.
He's in the band, right?
No, I never saw that.
I haven't seen it either.
Really?
No, I haven't seen it.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I figured because we're music guys.
Yeah. I don't really love music movies.
I know.
You we talked like about the we talked. I don't care for the biopics. It's just
yeah. But this wasn't a biopic. This is a
no. It seemed fun. We've talked about this. Adam Schlesinger from the Fountains of Wayne wrote a lot of those fake.
Oh, really?
Beatles-esque hits. Maybe we didn't talk about this. I talked about it with somebody. But
Fountains
yeah.
of Wayne.
Remember the Fountains of Wayne?
Yeah, I was never into it, but I didn't like it. I just didn't know it.
They got a little annoying because they had that Stacey's Mom song that was kind of a giant hit out of later in their career. But
okay.
Early on, they had a song called Radiation Vibe that I always really liked.
Yeah, I do know that Stacey's Mom thing.
Has got it going on.
Yeah.
It was a music video. It was like a TRL
kind
of sleeper hit.
TRL.
Remember TRL?
Oy. The Danger Oven, Gail Kuntz says, his performance in Rescue Dawn. Oh, that's serious, son.
Yeah, okay.
Not a lot of laughs in that fucking
movie.
Was
that like a helicopter kind of extraction
Bale,
movie?
Yeah, it was Werner Herzog, I think. Didn't he direct that?
Really?
Or did he direct he directed the documentary Little Dita Needs to Fly?
That's right. That's it, Little Dita.
But did he do Rescue Dawn as well?
Hold on. Let's see. It sure did.
Yeah, he did both.
It seems like it doesn't seem like a Herzog movie, but it absolutely, you're absolutely right.
I agree. It's not very Herzog-y. Let me see here. George Anderson says, a perfect getaway. He played a villain with dramatic chops.
Huh.
I've never heard of that movie.
I haven't either.
Hmm.
Maybe it's good.
Someone else said that too. Matt Winship says, perfect getaway. Very clever movie, not knowing what to expect. And I was not disappointed. Old pal Jeff Noel says it's a toss-up. Lenny Hayes from That Thing You Do or Al Giardino and Sahara.
Mm.
You know what mine is, hands down, is Glenn from Out of Sight, one of the great roles.
You know, I've seen that. I saw it in the theaters, but I haven't seen it since. But I remember loving it.
Boy, it's great. We crushed that out on with Alex Ferney. Rebecca Robe, anything that man is in makes me happy. Great comment. Here we go. Tyler King says he's pretty great in Tremé.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see it.
Yeah, he plays kind of just like a goofy stoner piano player, musician guy. He has wild dreams. He wants to be like a promoter or something. I don't remember exactly.
Wild dreams.
Yeah, wild dreams.
Daryl Murphy says, I agree with you, Chuck, about Out of Sight, but I also remember liking him a lot in Happy Texas. Yeah, that was a good movie. Little indie. Greg Bassinet Bazinet.
Bazinet? Like a baby crib? Mm.
Bazinet says Wayne in Saving Silverman. That's a bit of a guilty pleasure.
Well, I think Steve Zahn was in Reality Bites, according to the internet.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he had a little part in that. He's one of the friends.
That's one I always confuse with Singles, because I think they came out pretty adjacently.
Sure.
They were both 90s Seattle-ish movies, weren't they?
Yeah, they're very distinct in my mind. Emily's a big Reality Bites person, like can quote it.
Are there camps, do you think? Are there Singles folks and then Reality Bites folks?
She loves both.
Okay.
But maybe she just puts her feet in both camps.
Got it.
A bunch of people are saying That Thing You Do. Caleb Selman, Emily Diener, and Joe Baumgartner are all down with that.
Diener.
And then our old pal Bennett Duckworth says War for the Planet of the Apes. I didn't know he was in that.
I think he's a scientist.
Is he?
Yeah.
A Zahn scientist. Uh-huh. All right. So happy birthday, Zahn. We love you on the show. I would love to come visit you at your home in New Jersey and crush it out with you.
I remember why I like him so much in Treme. He has a bomb-ass soul patch.
Oh, really?
And it takes a lot to pull that off, and he very much does. He's that kind of hep cat, New Orleans swinging musician type.
What does he play in the movie? Like what, or in the show? What instrument?
He plays piano. He's just an all-around music guy. I don't think he's like a master jazz guy, but he's sort of like in that world.
Oh, boy, look at that soul patch.
I mean, I know, right?
Yeah.
Serious. He looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Yeah, well, Shaggy doesn't have a soul. He's got a full weird, just a chin beard.
I guess he's got the little chin goatee.
Although now that I'm looking at him, wouldn't he be a good Shaggy
in a Scooby-Doo? Yeah. Boy, he's one of the greats.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Noel, we're going to move on next to the Movie Crushers page. Because I saw a nice little thing here from David Mills, one of our old pals. He did a post where he asked about Disney Plus. You know, it just debuted.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
No, not yet.
Are you going to get it?
I don't know. I've got a lot of little piecemeal subscriptions already, you know?
Okay.
I mean, it comes a point where if you subscribe to everything, you're like, are we really cord cutters at all anymore, Chuck?
Oh, I don't think cord cutting means you're denying yourself any media. It just means you're having it on your terms instead of just whatever the cable company wants to serve up
for
you. This
is true, but I do feel like the cable companies are having to kind of reckon with all this stuff, and they're going to have to
– maybe.
You know,
I mean, the only solution would be a la carte cable.
Have they not sort of done that?
Well,
with HBO, you can do that at least. HBO used to be exclusively you could only get it through cable providers, and now you can do HBO Go.
I guess.
That's not true, though. You still have to have a subscription. I have free HBO through my cable package, but I don't have actual cable. I just have HBO.
I pay for HBO,
mm-hmm.
which I get through Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Hulu, which I also pay for.
Right.
I do
weird.
Hulu, Amazon Prime, which is included
with
my Amazon Prime membership.
Sure, same.
And Netflix.
Same.
So I can add – I feel like I can add Disney Plus.
It's only $5, too. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
That's like fine. The price of like a coffee downstairs.
Yeah, exactly. You just said the word coffee, and I wanted to poop my pants.
Really?
That's how hungover I am.
You need a coffee?
No, I would poop my pants.
Really?
Yeah, is that diuretic?
I didn't know that was a thing.
Really? When you drink coffee, your sphincter doesn't start doing things?
No.
Wow, that's crazy.
Not that I've noticed. Disney Plus, $5. I actually just got a temporary subscription to Shudder. Do you know what Shudder is?
Nope.
It's all horror stuff.
Ooh.
And it's really well curated. And the reason I got it is because Rob Schraub, who is one of the writers on Rick and Morty, and he's like Dan Harmon's old pal, and he's on Harmontown. When So They Don't Want You to Know Guests on Harmontown, we met him. He was responsible for a reboot of Creepshow. That is an anthology series exclusively on Shudder.
Is it out yet?
Yeah.
Creepshow?
Uh-huh. It's on Shudder.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's cool. It's just schlocky, fun, you know, phantasmagoria type stuff, you know? Yeah, it's good.
So I'm going to get Disney Plus. What I really want is Disney to throw us some money for talking about them like this.
That'd be cool.
Give us some of that Disney money.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we are plugging the crap out of your channel. But old fan David Mills, old friend and old fan, asked, what are you watching? Like, where did you start, basically, on day one of Disney Plus? And a lot of people are into it. And we'll just kind of go through and see here. Mike Snelling, Jr., Iron Man 1. He's starting at the beginning with the Marvels. Neil Balfour's Mandalorian, you know, they're not releasing them all at once. You can't binge it.
That's fine.
Is it?
I like it that way, kind of.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I like having something to look forward to.
From week to week?
I do.
I may get it and just save it up, although I probably won't be able to. I'm so excited about The Mandalorian. Joshua Green started with Swiss Family Robinson. Becca Liu, one of our old friends, came home from Scouts with the boy child, and the husband was having a field day adding content to the watch list. So far, we watched a few Pixar shorts. We're going to shortly watch The Mandalorian. I didn't know some of the stuff was on there. I didn't know The Simpsons was on there.
I thought Simpsons were owned by... No, I guess it's all the same now.
And it's like striking
really
how much Disney owns
it. Is
now.
All. It's crazy, yeah.
So I guess all of The Simpsons are on there?
Apparently.
Jeez.
I know all of The Muppets are on there, and all of Star Wars properties are on there.
And all of Marvel.
And all of Marvel.
I don't know if all of Marvel is on yet or if they're rolling it out.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But I did read something funny about it because just like these folks, there's a lot of little hot takes of the early look at Disney Plus coming out. Mm-hmm. And the funny one that I saw was, you know, the Greedo and Han scene in A New Hope Star Wars movie?
Sure.
How, you know, they redid it for the reissue to make it look like Greedo shot first mm-hmm. so Han didn't look like such a cold-blooded killer.
Yes.
You know, when he shoots Greedo directly.
Of course.
Now, in the Disney Plus version, Greedo is heard exclaiming something resembling McClunky.
Oh, I think I saw that. I didn't know what they meant. McClunky.
McClunky, like it's some sort of expletive or whatever, like uh-huh. from the Star Wars universe.
Uh-huh.
And apparently it does have some precedent in like a canceled Star Wars 3D thing. I don't know. Like you have to ask Holly Fry about that. But
boy, I wonder if that's going to catch on in the zeitgeist.
McClunky?
People say, McClunky.
McClunky. I kind of like it.
What the McClunky?
I love it.
Amy Ball says, I haven't watched anything yet, but my nieces have been jumping between a bunch of shows. Angelo Chavez says, Camp Nowhere, it's a goddamn classic. Caleb J. Wyatt, old pal, says, DuckTales.
Woo!
Don Barnhart says, The Adventures of Huck Finn with Elijah Wood.
Ooh, I remember that from the theaters very fondly.
I didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Elijah Wood, though.
Let me very see. Little.
Jennifer Sawyer says, Hubby went straight to The Simpsons. Heather Keenan says, The Aristocats, meow.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I got to get this.
It's pretty great.
It's all on there.
It's got
and
a lot
a
of stuff.
Four-year-old. Like,
a lot of stuff.
It just has to happen.
All of the classics, yeah. $5 a month, I mean.
Yeah, it's a good
deal.
They're
going to clean up. They're going to do real well, I think.
Leah Mitchell. By the way, Leah, I hope you're feeling better. I know you were sad recently, and I hope you're not sad right now.
Same.
Leah says, I went for the Muppets first, then a little bit of Pete's Dragon, then Home Alone Lost in New York. Well, Leah, it sounds like that's a good recipe for making you happy.
Stevens. I want to see the org chart for the shit Disney owns because there's a
yeah.
lot of stuff wrapped up in here.
Well, I think the org chart is Disney Plus menu.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think you're right.
All right, let's finish up here with William Poteet says, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Very sweet. So, Noel, we are going to finish with... a little surprise for you, because I sent you an interview, a very brief interview,
mm-hmm.
with the great Werner Herzog. And this is from Variety magazine, variety.com, by Will Thorne. Werner Herzog on why he didn't need to see Star Wars films for the Mandalorian role. And we love Werner Herzog on the show.
We sure do.
You especially. As evidenced by the Noel Helms scream.
I'm a fan.
And one of my favorite things is your impression of Werner Herzog.
It's not that good.
It's great.
I mean,
it's one of my favorite things in the world.
I appreciate that, Chuck. I'll tell you who does it the best, and we've talked about this, is Paul F. Tompkins does a really great
sure.
Werner.
But PFT is not here. You are.
That's true.
So what we're going to do, Noel, is I'm going to play... Will Thorne, the interviewer, and we're going to read this in character.
Okay.
All right? Because I haven't read it yet, and I started to read it, and I said, no, I want Noel to read it to me as Werner Herzog.
Okay, I'm going to do my very best.
All right, let's do this. So, Mr. Herzog, Jon Favreau approached you directly for The Mandalorian. Why do you think he had you in mind, and why did you say yes?
I think there are two reasons. One, he has seen some of my performances as an actor and is completely convinced that I should be a part of his new series.
So great.
Second, I think it's a bit of an homage to my films, to my storytelling, and to my way of putting emphasis on world stories. Fever dreams in the jungle, quasi science fiction stories. I think he sees a kindred spirit in me.
Well, thank you, Mr. Herzog. What was your experience shooting the series with Jon Favreau?
I do not know how the Star Wars films were shot, but I assume much of it was motion-controlled cameras and green screens. I can say that filmmaking, and that's John's great achievement with The Mandalorian, is brought back to where it always has been. As an actor, you see, I'm doing kind of a Woody Allen thing at this point. I don't know. I'm lapsing. You see where you are, the planet which you're moving, and the cameras could even be on the shoulder of a cinematographer and move around. And that's how filmmaking has been and should be. As an actor, I knew it immediately. That was good stuff. You feel it when the camera doesn't have to be motion controlled and you don't have to act like a robot.
Favreau has made some highly successful films recently. Did you feel an element of pressure working with him?
I do not know what other films he has made.
What a great interview. You don't?
No.
Well, he made The Lion King earlier this year with Beyonce and Donald Glover.
Well, I like The Lion King, but the animated version 30 years back or so, that was a wonderful film. The music was particularly great. Hans Zimmer's score.
Should we do this whole thing?
No.
All right.
I can't keep it up.
All right. All right.
Let's just leave it with no.
Okay. I do want to – I'll just read this.
Sure.
I'll take a crack at it because they ask if he watches any television.
Yeah.
And he says, I do. I watch the news from different sources. Sometimes I see things that are completely against my cultural nature. I was raised with Latin and ancient Greek poetry from Greek antiquity. But sometimes, just to see the world I live in, I watch WrestleMania.
You know who else really loved WrestleMania?
Wow.
Andy Warhol really loved
wrestling.
And there's a really great clip where you see him interviewed by whoever the Mean Gene, is that his name?
Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah, he interviews Andy Warhol, and Andy Warhol is just, I think I've talked about this on the show, he's just like, it's just so exciting. It's just the greatest thing. I just can't even believe how exciting it is.
Yeah, there have been some oddball wrestling fans over the years. There's something about the spectacle that, and I think the camp nature of it that some people might appreciate that mm-hmm. you wouldn't expect.
No, for sure.
And they ask him here at the end of the interview, do you have extra incentive to pay for some more streaming platforms? And he says, I have no choice but to sign up for Disney Plus and Netflix. I shall go do that now. He says shall.
He's wonderful.
He gets away with it.
He is an original.
Man.
I love him so much.
All right. So hats off to you, Mr. Werner Herzog. Happy birthday to Steve Zahn. And thank you guys for listening. And now I'm going to go record two more shows right after this.
Right back at you. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.